Blog Talk Radio.
Okay, we're open.
Tells me so.
welcome to your place. I'm Starla, and tonight we're going to continue our study in the Bible, and we have back with us Sister Blog Talk, Bobby Lively. I don't know about you, but if you can listen to a song like that from a child, I think your wood's wet. Such a beautiful song. That little girl is only 5 years old. And you can watch it on YouTube, and it's awesome. I'm sure Wild Bill will have, you know, where you can find it. There's nothing like the innocence and directness of a child's faith. Listening to these songs makes it clear why Jesus told us to be like little children. Anyway, this is a continuation for part two from last week's show. And if you missed it, you can go to the archives and you won't be disappointed. Our guest tonight, speaker, Sister Bobby Lively, better known as Blog Talk Mom. She is a published author. She has worked in youth ministry and taught Christian school. She's recorded gospel albums, written songs, worked music ministry, started youth outreach programs, and a certified counselor. She graduated from a Christian college. She's a licensed preacher and has taught Sunday school classes of all ages. And she's also taught ministers classes. And she had a worldwide radio show for years. And but most importantly, she is the mom of Wild Bill and Joy Bell. And she's back tonight to bring you part two of the lesson that started last week on the Bible. This topic is one of such depth, and nobody shares it like Sister Bobby Lively. Couldn't find your mic. Sister Lively, how are you?
I'm doing fine, Sister Starla. Thank you very much for the kind words and for the beautiful music that was played at the beginning. I agree with you. It ushered this program immediately into the presence of God, or the presence of God into this program. It was just precious and very, very anointed. And I want to thank Wild Bill for even considering letting me be on the program on such a subject. So I'm going to sort of today, I think, or this evening, rather than, you know, do a lot of debatable issues, we're going to try to keep it towards the beauty of the Word of God, the uplifting, the molding, the power of the Word of God. And if anybody wants to call, and you, Sister Starla will tell you how to just press 1, and you won't be immediately on the air, but when she does say that you are on the air, then she will give the last four numbers of your phone number. And sometimes there's different problems that it doesn't work, but we hope that it will, and whatever you have to say is very important and will be a blessing. I want to thank my daughter, Joy Boris Johnny, Joy Bells as we call her, who started this program as far as initiating the idea and encouraged it. And I love my children. I'm 73 years old, and I remember one time years ago, for some reason, this big church gave me a big award, the Teacher of the Year type thing, and I walked in to my home. And not in disrespect, I appreciated what they did. I appreciated the honor, but I put it in the trash. Because at that point in time, until you have your own life many times in place, outward hurrahs and, you know, awards don't really mean anything. They may to some people, but not to me. But the Word of God, as I would learn the Word of God and surrender to that God would show me. And I could go into His presence in prayer and in His Word and know that I'd done the best I could, and where I couldn't go do any the as good as I wanted to, I had His power and His word to strengthen me. And today we're working in, and I'm homeschooling for just a small amount of time, and we were talking about the promise. God is a promise giver. He's a promise. He gives us awesome thousands of promises. And He said, you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost comes upon you, and Acts 1:8. And I'm so thankful for that power. And if you're listening and you feel like you are just nothing or failing, or if you feel like you're on top of the world, wherever you are, there's something today, this very moment, in the Word of God for you and for me. And that little girl singing, that was just precious. And years and years ago, I was at Dr. John Shields' church and school. He didn't ever like for us to call it his church and school, but he was the founder. And Sister Joyce Trimble was one of the teachers, and we would have school programs and assemblies. And she wrote this little song, and I've kept it for years. It meant so much to me. I learned so much from the very basic things that we were taught there. But it was A through Z. It said A, He's Alpha and Omega. B, before all things was He. C, cast all your care upon Him. D, all darkness will flee. E, each soul is so special. F, He longs to set you free. G, His grace is so amazing. H, there's hope for you and me. And the chorus was, I, He's the great I am. J, His joy or my heart rolls. K, He's King and has all power. L, His love now rules my soul. M, many called, but few are chosen. N, straight and narrow is the way. O, He opens eyes of blindness. P, His peace He gives each day. Q, by His Spirit I've been quickened. R, I'll rejoice forevermore. S, there's salvation and none other. T, truth tells me He's the door. U, are the one He died for. V, invest in Him and see. W, winners follow Jesus. X, extra good to me is He. And the ending of the song is coming. For sure your life will end one day. Why don't you live for Jesus? Z, He'll fill your life with zest and help you through each test. With joy, He'll always make a way. I love that, because A to Z, it's all about Jesus Christ. It's all about His power and His love and what He did, His sacrifice. So, Sister Darla, I know that we're going to have one caller. She called earlier today, and if nothing came up, she was going to call Sister Alicia. And so I hope she was able to join us for sure. Speaking about the Word of God, there, historically, I hope everybody gets a pencil, a pen, and paper. I'd like to give you some websites, and then you can look this up, because every day that I wasn't busy with the homeschooling, I went to different websites and studied about the history of the English Bible. And it's something that all of us should know to be able to appreciate it, the sacrifice, the martyrdom that was involved in it, the strength that some had to follow the will of God. There's one website, it's the English Bible History. And it's a timeline of how we got the English Bible, and it's called www.greatsite.com. And just before I would give you a lot of different websites, now I know some people don't even have computers, but a lot of things we have to think about perception, not to argue. I mean, everybody's got an opinion, everybody perceives things, and we all each perceive things differently at different times. But I want to share something with you. First, I want to read a couple of scriptures. I want to give honor to my pastor, Pastor Gene Holland, who is the most awesome person that I've ever known in all my life. And appreciate her and her church, Jesus Name Tabernacle. But this scripture in Proverbs, the 2nd chapter, 1-6, it says, "My son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding, yea, if thou criest after knowledge and liftest up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as for hid treasures, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord giveth wisdom, out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding." So that's a promise. That is a description of how we can receive what we need, no matter where we are, no matter what limitations we might have, no matter how wise we think we might be. This is how we receive from God. Back to perceptions. Our normal perceptions don't always correspond to reality. We see, hear, smell, you know, we have our own perceptions, but they're not entirely determined by our senses, what our senses detect. And our perceptions are also determined by what we expect something to be, what we know, and what we believe. So I'm going to share this little story that happened. If we look at darkness, all right, there's natural darkness, and then we read in Genesis that God said, "Let there be light." So one of my little students, who is named Luke, who is absolutely wonderful, Gabe and Luke are the young boys, and so we've been talking about where God said, "Let there be light." And that's our Bible lesson, and we're doing it in sign language, and we have pictures, and he's really believing it. I mean, he accepts that God was a creator, and let there be light. So today, it's been about 3 weeks since we've been studying this, the beginnings, and in Genesis. So he said, well, my grandma, I think, I don't know if he called her grandma, said, "My grandma said that man made light." And I knew immediately, you know, what had probably transpired. And he, you know, he was very sincere, not rebellious in any way. He said, "Grandma said that man made light." And I said, "Well, originally God created light, and then man was able to harness light." Well, I already knew that I was not, he wasn't connecting the dots with what I was saying. And so by his perception, I could see that he was listening to me, but then he very kindly told me that he was going to believe what I said. I don't know. Y'all may not be enjoying this, but it was just so innocent and so sweet. He was just, if I said God did it, you know, it didn't matter what Grandma said. But see, both are true. It's how we perceive things. People that argue and wrangle over so many things. This one writer said that he had never seen the back of his head. If somebody said, "Have you ever seen the back of your head?" he'd say, "No." And then he would think, "Well, now I have looked in a mirror, and I saw a reflection of the back of my head." And so you could argue back and forth. Sometimes when God would speak in the Word of God, and over the Scripture says, "And God said, and the Word of the Lord came." But there were theophanies, there were situations. As we mentioned last week, if everything, John, the writer in the Bible said, if everything that Christ did while he was here on his earthly ministry, the world could not contain the books. So for the brevity and for the constant, when I say constant, there is a constant that starts in the very first words of the Bible, and it ends, it goes all the way through the Old Testament, all the way through into the New Testament, which is Old Covenant and New Covenant, and that is the thread of redemption. Rahab was a harlot in the Old Testament. There was nothing about her that was to be admired as far as her lifestyle. She was a harlot. But at the same time, she believed. She believed in the God of the Israelites, and because of that, and because of her honoring what she believed and what was right, she was able to save her whole family when the whole area was destroyed. But they told her to put they were going to be invaded, that to put a scarlet thread or a ribbon out of her window, and then her household would be in there, and they would be spared. Well, what in the world? I mean, a scarlet thread, that's got to be, if anybody knows the Old and New Testament, it's redemption. It started when Adam and Eve sinned, and there had to be an animal slain and blood sacrifice. And it went all the way down through the Hebrew worship and the temple, the tabernacle. And then that day that spotless lamb, Jesus Christ, gave his life so that all, it wasn't the blood of bulls and goats and lambs, those were all types and shadows of God, Emmanuel, clothing himself in flesh and coming and dying for us and redeeming us, redeeming our life from destruction. So I'm saying all that to say that if you get confused over something, and people do, there's 2,000, I believe, right now, denominations where they take scripture and they analyze it according to what they have believed, what their culture is. But go to the Word of God according to these scriptures that I read in Proverbs 2:1-6. Receive his words. Hide those commandments in your heart. Incline your ear to wisdom. Apply your heart to understanding. Cry out for knowledge. Lift up your voice to God for understanding. And surrender your life and your will to his. And he'll grant whatever accordingly. Jesus said, ask and you'll receive, seek and you'll find, knock and it will be opened unto you. Ask, seek, and knock. Whatever it is that you need or you're confused over, get quiet before God. Open up his word. Humble yourself before him. Cry out to him, and he will answer. He promised that. And we're doing another thing in homeschooling about the promise of the when after it rained and the flood came, then God put a rainbow in the sky, which was a symbol of the promise that he would never destroy the earth by water. So there's all kinds of symbols, the power of the Holy Ghost. I tell you what, when it moves into a service, when you feel that anointing like we did when that child was singing, that talk about a seal of a promise. Nothing in this life, nothing can do what a move of the Spirit of God upon our heart. The laws are written in the fleshy tables of our heart. And we have the written word, and I love the written word. And people have, in fact, I think I'm going to give Sister Starla a minute if she wants to say something or somebody calls in. And I may just run down the history here on that website, www.greatsite.com, especially historians and people that like that. Sister Starla?
Live Talk Mom, we have a caller. 2654? Well, hello?
Hey, Sister Lively?
Well, hello, Alicia. How are you doing tonight?
I'm awesome. Y'all pardon me, I have my wisdom teeth cut out all for Friday, which I'm doing a lot better, but I sound a little funny, so just pardon me. So as you were talking about the promises of God, my family is not in church yet, but they will be. And I was bringing my sister home from church about 3 or 4 weeks ago from a Sunday night service because we went out to eat. And she started talking to me and she said, Alicia, how do you know that aliens didn't create us? And for me, living for God for 7 years and living in front of them, that just tears me down automatically because I'm like, I started feeling like I wasn't good enough, that I wasn't being a great example for them. But as soon as I dropped her off, because I don't like to cry in front of people, especially not my sister. I don't want to let her know that I'm upset. So as soon as she got out of the van and walked inside and I pulled out of the driveway, I prayed all the way home. And as I got in my driveway, God showed me, he's like, I promised you your family's going to be in church. I keep my word. And I started praying, and the Holy Ghost just saturated me, and I started speaking in tongues and just laughing at the Holy Ghost come upon me, and that peace was there, just because the devil wants to lashed at us, God's still there, and if he said he's going to do something, he's going to do it. So as you were talking about promises, that come to my mind. So indeed, I would hear it.
That's wonderful, Sister Alicia. I appreciate you very much. You're 17 years old?
Yes, ma'am.
You're faithful to the house of God. She is, as she mentioned, the other members of her family are not in church, and she is one of the first ones to the prayer room. She loves God, lives a very dedicated life, and is very evangelistic in her burden for others that are lost. And we really appreciate you, Sister Alicia, and I appreciate you calling. Do you read the Word of God?
I sure do.
You do?
I love it.
And we're on a program. I don't know how many of the Sunday school classes, but you can read the Word of God completely through in 1 year by reading approximately three chapters a day. And there are free printable plans that you can go on the computer and just print off some of them on one page, and that's the one that I like. And then the way I do it is I read through each year. I put the year. I just write that up with the chapter, and I know that I've read that this year. And I try to read like the book of Acts all the way through. You will receive things from the Word of God when you read it all the way through, and not necessarily from Genesis straight through to Revelation, but get a complete thought done instead of having a subject that you're interested in, which is good, and is pulling out all the scriptures on a particular subject, but it doesn't have the power or the depth, the strength, when you begin to read it, and like I mentioned about that thread that goes all the way down through the Word of God on redemption, the power of God, the promise that was given that the Holy Ghost would come, the dispensations, the dispensation of grace, the dispensation of the church in the book of Acts, where Peter, who had the keys to the kingdom of God, that to know what that means. I mean, what did that mean when the Lord told Peter he would have the keys? And what did it mean in Acts 2:38 when it was he that stood up, and when the Spirit of God fell in such a mighty, awesome, visible, powerful way, it was the one that God had given the keys to that stood up, and Peter preached when they said, "What must we do?" You know, everyone was stirred. There were thousands, and he said, "Repent." You know, he told them, he preached Jesus Christ to them, and he said, "This one that you were all part of slaying him and not receiving him, will repent, turn, come back the right way, and be baptized." There is a baptism, not just John's baptism, because you read the book of Acts. Those that were baptized under John's baptism were rebaptized. Well, why would I want to be baptized? What's the significance? It's just grace. Because when we obey the Word of God, all the way through from Genesis to Revelation, there's a fulfillment of the plan and purpose, covenant, testament of God that's going to stand for eternity. For eternity. When you are baptized in Jesus' name, your sins are remitted. They are not there. They are gone. That is an obedience, because there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. That's Acts 4:12. So when we repent, we're baptized in Jesus' name, we are filled with the Holy Ghost, and we're going to act just exactly like they did in the book of Acts, just exactly like they did in Acts 10 when the Holy Ghost was poured out in the house of Cornelius and the Gentiles received the Holy Ghost. Just all the way through, when you read the book of Acts, you will see exactly the power of Jesus' name and being obedient to the covenant that began. The church was born. That's where we are now, in the church of the living God, that dispensation. And that, if you don't really understand that, you just take a scripture here and a scripture there. Then you come up with doctrines that say all you have to do is believe, and just say that you believe, and you're saved. Well, that is true as far as you've got to believe. You are not, and none of the rest of it works. And you must be willing to say it. You know, not just to believe it but not really be committed to it, because when we say it, we are being committed to what we really believe, and then we act upon that. So it all flows together. The Word of God is wonderful in that sense. Did you have anything else, Sister Alicia, that you wanted to share?
Well, as you were talking about the Word of God and how we go through that, we don't have to focus on just one topic. So when I was getting my first message ready, Living for God in the Hard Times, it was overcoming. And in like one or two other different topics I was working on, and how I started off, I said, God, how do you want me to get this message ready? And he said, just read the Bible as your normal chapter. And I think it was Genesis chapter 29 or chapter 30 I was reading. And he started pulling stuff out of that one chapter for that message. So we just have to read it daily, because you never know, just because you're working on a message or if you're not, God still can throw nuggets in to get you through that week.
I'm glad you mentioned that, because I had read this little story, and I don't know where it was. I wish I had it right now, but this man was reading the Bible, and his method was he would just open the Bible and he would just point to a verse, and that would be his message. You know, that was his only way of studying the Word of God. And so I think the first one he opened up and looked at it was where Judas hung himself. And then he didn't, you know, really think a lot about that, so he opened the Bible somewhere else, and it said, do thou likewise. And, you know, he didn't want to do that. He didn't like that either, so he opened it again, and it was, what thou doest, do speedily. You know, I mean, I'm just paraphrasing that, but there must be more to it than just a haphazard. I mean, I believe in even the little prayer box where you just pull out a prayer for the day or a thought for the day. But if there's not an intimate relationship between God and His Word and the individual, then it's very superficial. God can speak in any situation, but there must be commitment and consecration, or a surrender. In fact, I have that, if we have time, I have 5 steps that we're covering in our Sunday school class on just ideas that use the hand. The little finger is hear the Word of God. The next is read. The next is study. The next is memorize. And the next is meditate. And I have some scriptures about that. But if that is all with Sister Alicia, I believe I will go over this history a little bit of the English Bible.
You seem a bit old.
God bless you.
Love you.
Love you. Sister Starler, is there anyone else before I do this?
No.
Okay, in this, it's www.greatsight.com. It's a very, very good 10 pages, so I'm not going to for sure do that. Also, there's a DVD I mentioned last week called KJB, and I highly recommend that. It's very well done. It's like a documentary, and it's very good on the King James Bible and about King James himself. The first handwritten English language Bible manuscript, according to this document, is by John Wycliffe. If you read, and actually there's DVDs on each one of these, Wycliffe, Tyndale, and they're just like documentaries. They're very, very, very helpful. Talks about here of John Huss actively promoted Wycliffe's ideas, and that people should be able and permitted to read the Bible in their own language. That was, if you read about the Reformation, pre-Reformation times, there was this move of the Spirit of God upon mankind to put the Word of God so that it could be read in the language of the people and in the English language. The printing press in 1450, I believe, Gutenberg, the first book that was printed, was a Latin language Bible. And this is very interesting if you study these things, because there was I believe it was the Latin Vulgate. I'm not a person that knows history that well, but that was not what God wanted. It was perverted. It had, when I say perverted, it had things in it that did not go along with the inspiration of the Word of God. This article here says, in the 1490s, another Oxford professor, I believe it's Linacre, Linacre, I'm not sure of the pronunciation. He was a personal physician to King Henry VII and VIII, and he decided to learn Greek. After reading the Gospels in Greek and comparing it to the Latin Vulgate, he wrote in his diary, either this, the original Greek, is not the Gospel, or we are not Christians. The Latin had become so corrupt that it no longer even preserved the message of the Gospel. Yet the church still threatened to kill anyone who read the Scripture. Now listen to this. The church threatened to kill anyone who read the Scripture in any language other than Latin. The Latin was not an original language of the Scriptures. I'm going to skip on down. William Tyndale, his story is absolutely one of the most inspiring that I've ever read in my life. He was a captain of the Army of Reformers and was their spiritual leader. Tyndale holds the distinction of being the first man to ever print the New Testament in the English language. Tyndale was a true scholar and a genius, so fluent in 8 languages that it was said one would think any one of them was his native tongue. He is frequently referred to as the architect of the English language, even more so than William Shakespeare. So many of the phrases Tyndale coined are still in our language today. And then you can read about Martin Luther. Now, this is just a few hundred years ago that these men sacrificed their life. Well, Martin Luther was spared. He had a small head start on Tyndale, it says. He was the one that had the thesis that he put out about the corruption in the church. I wish I had underlined some of these because, it's like I said, it's 10 pages. But it was not that Henry the Eighth had a change of conscience regarding publishing the Bible in English. His motives were more sinister. A lot of the things that I've read about some of the kings, I don't believe that. Again, it goes back to perception. I think that we don't know the motive. There's no way that we can know the motive of anybody. We can see actions, and we can determine, and we can listen to what other people say about them and be persuaded sometimes by rumors and by what seems to be a certain way. But as history flows down, we really don't know. But I do know this, that God is in control. God is God. He is the creator. He is the mighty God, and he had his hand on the Bible being in the English language. And it is, and the King James Bible can be trusted. It is beautiful. It again, the types and the shadows that flow from Genesis 1:1 to the end of Revelation do not contradict each other. They become a deeper and greater revelation as you read it and as it becomes part of your heart and your life. The Bible says that we, in 2 Corinthians 3:2-3, it says, ye are an epistle written in our hearts, known and read of all men. Now, this is the Apostle Paul as he is speaking. An epistle is a letter. And what he is saying, that even more so than history and the things that we see, we, our life, what we live, how we align ourselves up to what we say we believe and what we believe, say the Word of God teaches, is the true message. The third verse says, for as much as ye are manifestly declared to be the epistle of Christ ministered by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, and not in tables of stone. This is alive. It is real. It is powerful. It is life-changing every moment of every day. I heard a testimony of a man this week said that he had made a a consecration to the Lord that he would never go to bed without kneeling and talking to the Lord. He just would not. And this particular time he was going through, there was some change in their scheduling, and so he realized that he had gone to bed and he had not prayed. And he began to, you know, how we justify ourselves and reason with, oh, you know, well, I'll make up for it tomorrow. That's my story about fasting. That's not funny, but it's so true. So he wrestled around with that idea for a while, and then he knew he could not. He just couldn't do that. He had made a consecration to God. And he got up and he prayed, and when he did, a great miracle. He told me all the details about a revelation that God gave him that was absolutely life-changing, that set him free in areas that up until that point that he just wrestled with these things. Well, he couldn't get up the next day. He could, but I mean, it wouldn't be the thing to do to get up the next time he taught Sunday school and tell everybody, if you don't pray before you go to bed, you're going to go to hell. See, that you can't put your conviction on someone else. You can share what you do with, like he shared that with me. It made me, it stirred my heart. I want to make sure I keep every commitment that I ever make to God. You know, if I tell him I'm going to fast or talk to him about a commitment to pray at a particular time, I want to make sure that I keep that commitment. But I can't make it a law. I can't put it in, like in the Bishop's Bible, they had so many rules and regulations that weren't even in the Word of God. Reworded, the Puritans, they did the same thing. They put in their own perception, their own ideas. But the King James, if you will take the time to read about the pure way that God overshadowed that and how it was perfected so that it is one of the most beautiful translations. Somebody said the NIV is the nearly inspired version because a lot of people read the NIV. Again, I don't want to sound critical, but I did read some that I may in a moment share with you some of the things. They leave out the word Jesus and Lord and Christ, and I can't really figure out how that makes anything easier to read, but they say that they're trying to bring you the thought and not necessarily the wording. But I've lived long enough to know that that's dangerous in any relationship. So I want to read these. Sister Stallers, there's something, someone would like to say something.
No, nobody has their hand up, so just continue.
Well, I don't want to keep people from calling in. This is what just talking about the Word of God. I know that people have, they want to share something, that a scripture that God's given you that brought you through a dark time or just whatever you would want to share. I'm open to hear. I love to hear people. While Bill does it, people call in, so. I don't know, but I will go and get this behind me on the NIV. It's Matthew 17:21 is completely removed. It's the scripture, howbeit this kind goeth not out but by prayer and fasting. Matthew 18:11 is completely removed. For the Son of Man has come to save that which is lost, which was lost. It's not in there. Matthew 23:14, woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye devour widows' houses, and for a pretense make long prayer, therefore ye shall receive the greater damnation. Also, if any man have ears to hear, let him hear. Mark 9:44, where their worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. Mark 11:26, but if you do not forgive, neither will your Father which is in heaven forgive your trespasses. And just several more, but I just didn't want to go a lot that way, but to let you realize that it is very serious, some of the things that have been changed. One of the NIV changes Lucifer's name to Morning Star. Remember that this is one of the blessed titles given to our Lord Jesus in Revelation 22:16. Let's see. Yes.
While Bill is on the air.
All right.
Yeah, I just wanted to share. I was able to look online today, and we had some people that had listened to last week's show, and they said, you know, you people mention the same 10 or 12 scriptures all the time about the Bible. And it's like there is nothing else in the Bible other than the Holy Ghost speaking in tongues and getting baptized in Jesus' name. And they said, how do you know that the Bible is even right, even though you just take certain parts of it? Because Scientology has their books. Buddha has their books. Same with their Mormon has the Book of Mormon. So what gives you the right to believe that the Bible is the Word of God, because it was written by men? Then they were saying that we haven't explained as to why people can trust in the Bible as the Word of God. We just keep wanting to throw up scriptures out there to make our point, but we're not really sharing as to why our scriptures are any better than the books that the other people have on what they believe. Did I get disconnected?
No, I didn't. Do you want me to respond? Or were you?
Yeah, I was just putting that to let you know that that was the response we got last week.
Right. Well, I hear that from all the way across. Like as I mentioned before about perception and opinions, and I don't think you can talk somebody out of anything, or even. If they have an attitude that is an attitude of debate, or they're not really hungry for the Word of God and for God Himself, and they aren't in the place of surrender, I don't believe you can give them enough information. Because you had, if you had at the time that King James began to work to have the new translation, the Bishop's Bible and the Puritan's Bible, and the work that others had been doing, there was, in fact, it was forbidden to have the Bible in the English language. If they can, if people can look past that place in history and not understand that there has to be some choices made, you have to be willing to look at the evidence when it goes out for the verdict. You got to be involved with some life-changing thought involvement. You can't be talked out of it, like the preacher said. If a dog's got a bone, you reach for it, he's going to bite you. You offer him a pork chop, he'll drop the bone. All I can offer to anybody is that the King James Bible, historically, in every way, it blends, it brings out the entire story from Genesis to Revelation exactly according to the, if you look into the canonized scriptures, I think there were 40-something different books were not accepted as actually being the inspired Word of God. You can't do that in a nutshell. You can't just give somebody a microwave answer. They've got to desire in their heart to seek God, and they've got to desire it with all of their heart. You know, there were 600-something laws that the Jewish people, they had, you know, Deuteronomy, Leviticus, all of these different laws. And then God said one thing. He said, be ye holy. And if a person is holy, they're not going to kill, they're not going to maim, they're not going to disobey, they're not going to do all of the things that the 600-something laws are about. But the 600-something laws are there. And the Word of God is there. You can't just say, well, love your neighbor and go fishing on Sunday, because the Word of God says, love your neighbor, but forsake not the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is. Love your neighbor, but be meek, be lowly, obey the Beatitudes, or benefit from the Beatitudes. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. What is meekness? Go to the Word of God and find out what meekness is. It's not according to my perception, your perception, or anybody else's ideas or misideas. It's according to the Word of God. And the King James Version has stood the test. Now, I know that some say that the King James and the other versions come from different documents. Well, go to the King James and the translations and those documents and find out how perfect and pristine. Like last week, we talked about the Dead Sea Scrolls. When these were discovered, when they were identical to everything we already had. But they were written hundreds of years before. So that proves that what we have now was translated exactly like the originals. Those are confirmations. And the miraculous way that they found the Dead Sea Scrolls. We talked last week about science. It's not a, Bible is not a science book, but where it speaks about science, it's absolutely correct. It talked about how the world was round. When we were thinking if we, just a few hundred years ago, we'd go right off the end of the earth because it was flat. But you can't wrestle with an infidel. I don't believe. Now, maybe someone can talk somebody into believing in Jesus Christ. Paul, when you read the book of Acts, he would go out. Now, here was a man that was before his conversion. He took men and women and made them blaspheme against Jesus Christ. He was one of the most staunch men against the gospel of Jesus Christ. But after his conversion, then he began to, he wrote the epistles in the New Testament. He went from place to place telling them about Jesus Christ. What did they do to him? They eventually cut his head off. They put him in prison. They did all manner of things to stone him, so left him for dead. So he didn't change people by those types of things. How he changed people was being obedient to God. When he was obedient and he went where he was supposed to go and the anointing of God came upon him and he said and did and delivered what he was supposed to do. God sent him to these different, to King Agrippa, the different ones, and he gave the message to them. He delivered his soul, and then it was up to that individual to seek God for themselves. And so that's what we do. As I read, we are an epistle that can be read by everyone. If we are living it according to the King James, and then we share what the King James says, that is enough. If they want to argue that that's not what it said, that it's some other version, and they want to go to a paraphrase. Dr. John Scheele has a book, and KJV or KJB. It's a very easily read book. I recommend it to anybody. He gave me two names that I don't have. I wish that I had. I'll try to give them to you later, of two people that are doing beautiful documentaries on the King James Bible. Again, I don't mean to sound like I don't want to say it, but I just don't think it works. I don't think you can wrestle something, an idea. But you comment what your view is on it.
Well, Bill.
Are you talking to me?
Yes, you comment on what your view is on it.
Well, the one thing I can understand people that are confused about all the different denominations and the different doctrines and things that are there that all seem to come from the same book. You know, I can understand some of that because I have been involved with more than one church in my lifetime, and I can tell you that there was good people in every one of them, and there's bad people in every one of them. But what I can tell you with an assurance is, you're going to believe something. And so what I challenge you to do is try it. Just don't let other people put stuff in your head. Don't let them put those challenges there on anything that has to do with evolution proves the Bible wrong or all these things. Take time to try it yourself. Because I could sit down at an Outback Steakhouse and I could tell you how good my steak is. And I could tell you how larrapin that baked potato is. And I could tell you how much I enjoy washing it down with a Dr. Pepper with a slice of lime in it. But until you sit down at your own plate and apply it to your life, then it's not ever going to make any sense to where you can understand it. Because this is not a book of principles that you can apply to your life. That's why there's some of the dangers about taking the different versions of the Bible right now to study, because if you're not careful, it can twist your whole mindset to where you actually interpret a scripture different than what God meant for it to be, based on someone trying to make it easier for you to read by reading the words. I know I tried to write a proposal for a nonprofit organization. I was trying to get people to edit my work, and it was so easy for people to say they were cleaning up the language of what I said, but what they did was they changed the meaning of the words that I was putting down on what I was trying to establish. God's established his word not just to be written, but God's established his word to be part of your life, to be something to where you can build a relationship with him. If you really look at it, it's where there's been a separation from your love, and it's all the process that he's put together in his love to reach back out to us, to redeem fallen man, to be back with him as it was intended to be in the beginning, and in the process, defeat the fallen angels from heaven that decided they were going to do their own thing. He's doing it all at the same time, using one against the other, but he's promised for those that apply themselves to his word, not just read his word, not just sit there and say, I understand his word, but to be doers of his word. When people do that, I promise you, when you take one step, God's going to take two. Is it an easy journey? No. At times it's confusing? Yeah. Is there times you're going to fall down? Yes, for sure. But on the other side of that, what you're falling into and what you're becoming part of will make you a far, far greater person than what you could ever be in yourself, because it's completing the part from you that Satan wants to steal and destroy. So I don't know if that really added to what you were trying to say there, Blog Talk Mom, but that's just what I was feeling when I was reading that today.
Well, I do appreciate that, and I appreciate your seem like it's much more clear when you say it. Today, as I was praying about the program tonight, it was more to encourage the people that are wanting, you know, like what you were just saying, they really do want to know more about the Bible, and they want to know. I think sometimes just having a plan. The saying is, if you fail to plan, you plan to fail. And if you have a plan on reading the Word of God, and then when these situations come up, like you said, there are so many denominations that take the same scriptures, the very same scriptures, and prove their belief from that the same scriptures. So it's an individual walk, and I noticed this today, that several times when Jesus was preaching, he would say, have you not read what David did? He would talk about, you know, the history in the Old Testament. You have the Torah, the first five books, and then the books of history, and the books of poetry, Job, Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, Song of Solomon, and then you have the major minor prophets. And so he's saying, have you not read what David did? He referred to the scriptures when he was preaching. And it wasn't just all his miracles. He said, or have you not read in the law? Another time he says how that on the Sabbath the priest, he was defending himself when they said he had done wrong to heal on the Sabbath. And then he said, have you not read that he which made them at the beginning made them male and female? Have you not read? Over and over, Jesus would say that. Did you never read in the scriptures the stone which the builders rejected? So reading the Word of God is vitally important. Jesus referred to it over and over, and that was, he was referring to the Old Covenant, the Old Testament scriptures. And I have been talking with people lately about reading the Word of God, and they say they just are not reading it. They listen to it on tape. They have it when they're going to work. They listen to it, and you know different methods. They have it on their iPhones, but there's something different about reading and being quiet. You know, having that relationship, being connected. Where the you know one time Jesus said when they said, "Oh, I've done this in your name. I've healed the sick. I've cast out devils." And he said, I never knew you, depart from me. you that work iniquity. Now, the iniquity could very well be the fact that they never had relationship with him. They never truly shut themselves in, closed the door. For, you know, in the scripture that he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. And read that whole 91st Psalm. It's an intimate, close, where you're not, it's amazing how many times we do all the talking when we pray. And we give him a list of everything we want him to do for us, and we give him, you know, we may do whatever, but do we really read the Word of God in that intimate atmosphere? There was a bunch here. And as touching the dead that they rise, have you not read in the book of Moses? You know, he referred to those scriptures. So to me, that's what the Lord wanted to say more than anything else tonight, was read the Word of God. Get a plan, whatever, and make sure that you're not in a hurry, that you're not. Let me read these scriptures on the hand. If you start first here, Romans 10:17, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But I say, have they not heard? Yes, verily, their sound went into all the earth, and their words unto the ends of the world. The next is to read. Blessed is he, this Revelation 1 and 3, blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein. You could say, what's he talking about? Well, you've got to read Revelation and understand it at all. You've got to read Daniel, the book of Daniel in the Old Testament. It is a beautifully interwoven, majestic, powerful, supernatural story. It's not, I don't like to use story because sometimes they put that together with the three pigs, but it's a flow of a message from Almighty God. Study the Word, Acts 17:11. This is what it said. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the Word with all readiness of mind and searched the Scriptures daily. That's what made them more noble, the fact that they stayed into the Scripture, memorized the Scripture. Psalms 119:9, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to God's word. With my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. And then he says, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. Memorize, meditate, Psalms 1 and 2. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. 1 Timothy 4:15, meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. Do the word of God, as Wild Bill said. Be doers of the word. Hear, and then let it become a part of you and flow through you. And that's God's plan. And the King James Bible is anointed. I've never heard anyone that has read more than one that didn't say there was an anointing. And the Bible says it is the anointing that destroys the yoke. What yoke? The yoke of unbelief, the yoke of Satan, the yoke of confusion, the yoke of bondage to any kind of habit. It is the Word of God. It is that anointing on the Word of God that will open our blinded eyes and set us free, as it did to the Apostle Paul, and set him out as one of the greatest workers in the New Testament church. While Bill, you have a comment?
No, I really appreciate, you know, what you were saying and what you brought to us again tonight. I do think that sometimes we have a tendency to look at the mask that people wear And the way they say things, it seems like they got an attitude. But really, if they're listening to this show and they're making a comment, I believe some of these people are really hungry. I think they're really sincere. And I think they probably have other people talking in their ear saying other things. They're like, oh, man, they're off on this or off on that. And so I think they were just throwing out the challenge, you know, reassure me, you know, because I don't believe it's by chance that anybody's ever in a church service or by chance that someone's listening to a show where they talk about things that have to do with relationship with God. And so I encourage each of you, the websites that Sister Lively gave to you tonight, take time to go to those because it explains some things. It is unbelievable the measures that that was put on the people that was actually going through and writing the King James Version of the Bible. It will blow your mind. I think when they got to the word God or something like that in writing it, I think they had to actually go and change their clothes, you know, bathe. I mean, the precautions that were put in place were second to none to make sure that this interpretation of the original would be the most precise possible that we could have for mankind in the English language. And so I always encourage people, and we thank you for your comment. We always say we don't expect people to agree with us, and I wish that you were calling in and posting some of these things actually live on the show, because we're not going to put anyone down for a different thought process or, you know, if you had like, well, this is, you know, what you're saying is wrong and I believe this. I think open discussion is good. If you have doubts and confusion about some of the things we say, that we want it to be to where that those are voiced. We're not afraid of any scripture that you want to bring up to go against some of the things that are said on this show. Even your personal testimony or experiences, those are all welcome. So I do want to thank you, Blog Talk Mom, for taking the time to put all this together. Starla didn't mention it to purses. I wrote in there that I love it when I'm right and somebody else is wrong. And I knew that you sent us, I think, 23 pages of notes last week. And so I knew there was no way that you could go through everything in last week's show. So I wanted to be said I was right again. But I also mentioned on there that I think last week you said you had ended up with over 70 pages of notes. So I wasn't sure if you're going to be able to finish up tonight. But maybe it might be. I know you have a lot of comment on actually the translation process. Do you feel that we're kind of going over the same materials again and again, but maybe just to have 1 week where we leave doctrine and actual scripture out of the process, but really talk about the history of the Bible?
Well, as I mentioned before, and I have this one particular website, it brings it. I don't know how they got it on 10 pages, actually. It's just the history of the English Bible. I can't imagine anybody really wanting to get into that type of detail about it by just this program, because I've watched documentaries on it, and there's like maybe historians, there's professors, they show film strips. They're dramatized, so I don't think that just saying it. You know, I'm a teacher, and you get so much more when you can see something, or when there's more examples of it. So, I mean, I don't mind doing it, but I think that if they'll go to that website, if they'll go and watch even on YouTube and different places, they're still going to have to rightly divide the word. What the Bible says, we rightly divide the word of truth. The NIV that leaves out, and whoever said that we have pet scriptures, you know, they do have footnotes. I would like to say that they have footnotes that they put scriptures in that they don't believe were in the original text. Now, several don't put, have excluded the scriptures in Mark 16:9-20. There's 12 verses, and King James has those in there, and I can't imagine any, because they so harmonize with those other scriptures that are in the others that are accepted as the inspired word of God. For instance, go ye into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. These signs shall follow them that believe in my name. Shall they cast out devils? They shall speak with new tongues. I mean, that right there easily harmonizes with Acts 2:38, with the Jesus commission. It's just, I don't know. If I was back sincerely looking for, I remember the first time I walked into a Bible bookstore, and I just given my heart to God, and I asked the young man there what he recommended. And he recommended a King James Bible. It was the old Scofield, the footnotes in there, and it was a study Bible, and every scripture was King James. The New King James it's not even respected. The only thing that it's got going for it is the name, but it's not accepted by hardly anyone, according to this article on www.greatsite.com, Timeline English Bible History. I do recommend you can print that off, and it's done just neatly. It talks about Noah Webster. He, just a few years after producing his famous dictionary, he put out a Bible in the English language, but it couldn't compare with the popularity of the King James. Also, I had some quotations and the history of our George Washington, Thomas Jefferson, the things that they said about the Bible. Said no country would ever stand without the Word of God, without the promises of God. It was beautiful what they said. Well, what Bible did they have? You know, that was the King James Bible. And it was greatly honored and respected. So, you know, there'll probably be more and more things crop up, but God's got his word, and it is anointed, and it is beautiful. And there's the Search for Truth Bible Study that can be ordered from the Pentecostal Publishing House, UPCI. And they can contact you on your website if they have any questions about these. Is that not right?
Yes.
Why, Bill?
That's right. He's not with us right now.
Then you want to tell them how they can get in touch with you and get more information on some of these study courses?
Just write to your place, www.blogtalkradio.com.
And that's on Facebook also, or what?
I don't think he has a Facebook link for your place.
Okay, and then I have, if you would like to contact me, I'm Bobby Lively, BobbieLively at yahoo.com, and I would be glad to forward you any. I have many websites that I trust, and there's some that you can't, and I think anybody would know that. Again, it's Rightly Divide, the Word of Truth. And then that little girl's song at the very beginning, the anointing was so beautiful. So seek after God, and you will find him.
Amen. Well, we want to thank Blog Talk Mom for being with us and sharing with us tonight. And would you like to close our show with a prayer?
That's all. Anybody that's listening, join with me. And we do want to search for truth. And John 8:12, he that followeth me shall not walk in darkness. Lord, in Jesus' name, hear our prayer this very moment, dear God. The creator of the world, we will not walk in darkness. Speak to every heart, encourage, protect, draw us together in your wonderful, wonderful spirit. We praise and honor you, Lord. We ask, Lord, if any words were said that would cause or be in any way used for confusion, to forgive them, Lord, and move upon them so that love will be the center for God's. So loved the world. You said you loved us, Lord, that you gave. I thank you for that, Lord. I thank you for your blood that was shed. O spotless Lamb of God, I thank you, Lord. You are our Savior, Savior of the world. Thank you, Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen.
Jesus' name. Well, we want to thank everybody for joining us this week, and tune in next week, and join us at your place. Good night.